Welcome to the Fretboard Journal podcast. I'm your host, Jason Verlinde. As always, that's John Rauhaus playing in the background. Today on the show, our youngest guest ever, I believe, at the age of 14, Wyatt Ellis is already making incredible waves in the world of bluegrass music and mandolin. He just put out a single with Sierra Hull that you should all go check out. He's played the Grand Ole Opry. He got to play alongside Billy Strings. This is truly a player who is on the rise. He just got signed to Gibson, and it was an honor to talk to him and pick his brain and learn just how quickly this individual has taken up mandolin and become a virtuoso at it. This is probably the first of many interviews we'll do with Wyatt, but I had a blast talking to him and his mom, who was helping out in the background. And I will include links to Wyatt's page in the show notes. There are plenty of YouTube videos going around showing just how ferocious a player this person is at the age of just 14. I'm going to quickly get through our sponsors so we can get to this interview. First up is Mike and Mike's Guitar Bar, one of the great guitar stores in the country, based here in Seattle, Washington. We're talking mandolins today. They have the coolest 1933 Epiphone Master-Built Adelphi A-style mandolin. Super cool. Cool sunburst on that one. They also have, as you can probably imagine, so many cool electric guitars right now. A 56 Gibson Les Paul Standard, a 54 Blackguard Telecaster, and so much more. You can go to mmguitarbar.com or check them out on Instagram to see their entire array of listings. And if you ever come through Seattle or reach out to them, please tell them the Fretboard Journal sent you. Our friends at Isotope are still offering you all 10% off of your Isotope order. Just use the discount code FRET10. I'll include a link in the show notes. Our friends at Pakehead Nation have this incredibly cool music portal where you can learn from some of the greatest instructors and musicians around. They have an entire mandolin program, several actually. If you are inspired by the interview you are about to hear, you can go to Pakehead Nation, get your first month free or $20 off of any annual subscription with the promo code FRETBOARD when you check out. And in perfect timing, our friends at Stringjoy Strings just announced they're now offering mandolin strings, but they also have a full array of great acoustic and guitar strings. If you want to mix things up, if you want to try out a relatively new string brand and see what the fuss is about, use the promo code FRETBOARD when you check out and you will get 10% off of your first order. I know I have been telling you all about the Fretboard Summit taking place in Chicago this August 24th to 26th. I've been warning you that this thing's going to sell out, and it is just about to. So if you want to try to get in last minute, now is your chance. Where else are you going to be able to see Tommy Emmanuel, Bill Frisell, Jorma Kaukonen, Jeff Parker, Via Mardo, and so many other great musicians? Joey Landreth. We have some of the greatest brands in the acoustic and electric instrument world showcasing their wares. We have a lot of fun planned. Go to fretboardsummit.org to read up on it. And if anyone out there is listening to this and just a huge fan of the entire handmade, luthery-built guitar movement, we have an entire 55-exhibitor luthery showcase going on inside the summit, and we're not going to let that sell out. We are going to continue to sell tickets for that, and you can buy tickets at the door. I think they're like $25 for the day. And if you just want to come and go guitar shopping at what has turned out to be the Midwest's largest luthery showcase ever, you can do that on either Friday, August 25th or Saturday, August 26th. And I know our luthiers exhibiting would love to see you. I would love to see you. I'm probably going to be running around or at some workshop or something. But the more, the merrier to that. And you can get those tickets as well at fretboardsummit.org. Again, our guest today is Wyatt Ellis, one of, if not the youngest person I've ever interviewed in my entire music journalism career, but also one of the most talented and one of the most interesting, and he's going places, and it's fascinating to see just how quickly he's reached the upper echelon of bluegrass music. I hope you enjoy our interview.
Hey Wyatt, I'm Jason.
Hey, I'm Wyatt, yeah.
You're the first person I know who attended the Blue Ridge, Brian Sutton's Blue Ridge Guitar Camp that I've spoken to afterwards. How was it?
It was amazing. I mean, it was crazy. You know, Billy showed up. You know, it was like, it's definitely, I think, one of the best camps I've ever been to, for sure.
And did you have a role there? Were you teaching? Were you just enrolled as a student?
Yeah, I was just a student.
And were there a bunch of mandolin players there?
Nope.
So what did you as a mandolin player learn attending a guitar camp?
Well, I'm a guitar player, obviously, too, you know, yeah. So I play guitar. So I went for it's like definitely like expanding my guitar vocabulary a little bit, going to stuff like that. And, you know, because I'm mandolin, you know, I'm just like totally, you know, like free, you know, like, but on guitar, it's a little, you know, it's just, I haven't been playing as long. So, you know, it's a little different.
Yeah. So usually I talk to musicians who are a little older than you. You are 13 right now?
14.
Okay. This is really cool for me because I rarely get to talk to somebody about their like entire career taking up an instrument. So with you, I can, because it's not been that long of a time. When did you take up mandolin or was guitar your first instrument?
I started on piano and I kind of learned, you know, about music just in general. Mm-hmm. And then mandolin was my first string bluegrass instrument. And I started playing mandolin about 4 years ago, and guitar came about, I think, like maybe 2 years ago. So it's a lot newer.
Yeah. You obviously have a few mandolins in the background. You're holding one right now. Is this a house where bluegrass music was played from the minute you were born, or you kind of discovered it?
I kind of discovered it, actually, because living in Knoxville, I've heard the Osborne Brothers playing the famous Rocky Top and Bobby's mandolin break on that. You know, that inspired me to get a mandolin and start playing. But then once I heard Bill Monroe, and that's kind of what really sparked the interest in it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is this music that you would hear like at venues around town or on the radio, or how did you discover it?
Discover like the Osborne Brothers and yeah. Rocky Top, just from like Tennessee football. And you know, like, you hear it everywhere, and you know, just like the Osborne Brothers version stood out to me for sure.
Yeah. So what, as a young individual, like what were your first steps? Did you find a local music instructor? Did you just go straight online? Tell me how you got your first instrument and how you learned.
Well, yeah, I took some lessons when I first started, and then I found a local jam not too far from here, and it's called Rocky Branch, and I would go there every Friday night and pick. And the first time I went, I wasn't too sure of myself or anything, but they let me pick, and I picked like I'll Fly Away and stuff like that. And it was really fun.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you've in a very short period of time, like become a highly accomplished player. Is it just practicing all the time? Are you using like online workshops and classes? Like how'd you get to be so good?
Well, a little bit of everything. It's just all a whole lot of work, and I've done some online workshops and lessons and stuff, but you know, the big part is the work that goes into it behind the scenes.
Yeah. And is it, how many hours a day are you practicing?
Oh, you know, just some days I'll feel like playing a ton, and other days I don't play much. You know, I'm not too structured. A lot of the times I'll just go fishing.
Okay. You're 14. Do you play video games or do any of the things a lot of 14-year-olds do?
No.
You avoided all of that? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Social media? No social media?
Yeah. I mean, I do a little social media, and you know, my mom and I do that on my Instagram and stuff. So
yeah. So you were playing, this has kind of been like through the pandemic, you were that's kind of when you took up the instrument, really, right?
Yeah, for sure. I got serious about playing just after it all shut down, and I was going to those jams. They got shut down. Well, you know, they got shut down, and I was just kind of stuck at home. And then Sierra reached out from the apprenticeship thing. It was like a grant from the state of Tennessee, and we did like 8 months or something. And it was like, it's like the Tennessee Folk Life program. And that's what really sparked me to play more and more.
So talk to us about that, because I bet a bunch of people listening to this have never heard about this. So Sierra Hall and you, and what was the program, and how did you apply?
Yeah. So it was the Tennessee Folk Life program. And I guess Sierra was just looking for a young mandolin player and to like pass on the, you know, tradition and stuff. But and I think, like, you know, she asked around and stuff, and she heard my name, and I think it kind of went from there.
Mm-hmm. And what were those 8 months like? What did she, was it just like everything?
Just about, yeah. It was like, you know, and having to like come back and learn the tunes that she sent me and showed me. And like, I learned quite a few tunes, and, you know, like, I feel like my timing improved and everything. It was really cool.
Were those all done via like Zoom, or were those in person?
Yeah, they were Zoom.
Yeah. Do you go to a regular school, or are you homeschooled, or how do you deal with school stuff?
I'm homeschooled, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that was even pre-pandemic, you were homeschooled?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got a little bit more freedom to, if you want to pursue mandolin for a couple hours a day, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably taking up a bigger and bigger share of your day as you get more and more well-known.
Yeah, for sure.
You've played with, in just the last year, like an insane group of mandolin legends, like pretty much all of them.
Oh god, yeah.
what have some of the highlights been for you personally?
Well, you know, like, the big highlights for me have been, you know, like getting to play on a Grand Ole Opry with Daylene Vincent. That was like just like a dream come true for me, as well as getting to play on the IBMA award show with Peter Rowan. Those were two big highlights for me. It was like mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And even Billy Strings, getting to play with him a few different places, just jam and play at the Doc Watson 100th birthday celebration. Just like, that's even, that's just crazy mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm in awe of all the people you've played with, and you've been playing the mandolin for 4 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Incredible. Were you signed to Gibson as well?
Well, you know, it's just like, it was through their G3 program. Uh-huh. And yeah, it's like, it's good to have, like, you know, such a great company behind you. Like, their instruments are really amazing. This one, you know.
Is that your number one mandolin?
Yeah.
And what is it?
Yeah, it's a 2020 Gibson Master model. It's really been, you know, my main mandolin through these few years.
Yeah. And you said that mandolins and maybe bluegrass music in general wasn't really played around your house until you discovered it. So have you just, for the last 4 years, been on like this all bluegrass, like, everything you listen to, like, you're sort of having to learn the music, right?
Well, you know, I play like jazz, bluegrass, swing, everything, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, there was so much, like, when I got going the first few years, it was like so much bluegrass. At this point, I'm starting to branch out and do different things, you know, like, more so. Yeah.
So how does a 14-year-old these days, is it YouTube? Is it Spotify? Is it everything? Like, how do you discover new music?
Yeah, like YouTube, Apple Music, especially YouTube. And, you know, just like I found like bands like the Johnson Mountain Boys, you know, like old Bill Monroe stuff, bunch of stuff like that. Good traditional stuff is just like Jimmy Martin, just like right at fingertips.
Yeah. You know? I heard you've got a new record or your first record coming out. What can you tell me about how that came to be?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm getting to know all these great mandolin players, like Sierra and a bunch of other players on it. It's like, and Sierra and Justin, it's like, I co-wrote like 12 great instrumentals with all these great players. And yeah, that's kind of all it is, you know?
And when is that, coming out?
I think it'll come out in October, but we're going to have some singles in between right before IB May. Yeah.
Cool.
September, October.
So what's the lineup on the record? Is it every track different in terms of who's playing?
So the mandolin players are Sierra Hull, Dominique Leslie, Marty Stewart. I can't even name them all. we have trouble. Lauren Price, Scott Napier. Chris Henry, David McLaughlin, David Harvey. Yeah. He plays guitar on there. Jake Workman, on a song, and there's some more, you know.
Incredible.
It was so cool, for sure.
Did you go into a real recording studio and kind of do that way? Yeah.
Like everybody came in within a few days, like the first 2 days. I think we had like eight guests in the first 2 days. So that was pretty wild.
Was it intimidating or were you comfortable in a recording studio?
Yeah, it was a pretty fun experience, you know, with Mike Bubb playing bass and Corey Walker and Jason Carter. They're pretty funny.
Okay. Have you met any other 14-year-olds who are as into bluegrass and mandolin as you are?
I don't think so. Mandolin wise, no.
Yeah. Are you now like going to the big bluegrass festivals and camping and jamming all night long?
You know, not too much. You know, like just try to go to the bigger things and, you know, just like performances and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you've got the new record. I mean, have you played with pretty much every one of your bluegrass heroes at this point? Or are there a couple that are still out there that you have yet to meet?
I've played with a lot of them, but you know, there's still a lot of them out there that you know, I like to meet and stuff, you know? So, yeah.
You mentioned playing at the Opry. What is the biggest crowd you've played for so far?
With Billy in Winston-Salem, I think it was like 14,000, something like that.
Were you scared at all? That's insane.
Not really. I mean, not too much. No.
Is that because when it's a stadium that big, you can't really see anybody, or you're just super comfortable on stage?
Everybody. I can see everybody.
Okay.
You know, it's just like playing with Billy is like sitting in those, you know, rocking chairs and stuff. It's just like, you know, pretty, you know, just like you're sitting there and jamming, pretty, you know, like just laid back experience.
That's so cool. What did you guys play? Remind me.
We played Watson's Blues and Soldier's Joy.
Okay. Yeah. And then, and then the guitar side, I mean, we've been talking mostly about the mandolin, but on the guitar side, you know, is it mostly bluegrass guitar that you're playing?
Yeah, you know, a lot of bluegrass guitar. You know, I do a lot of Doc Watson things, like when I'm doing like solo sets, just like Tennessee Stud and good old Doc Watson stuff like that.
Yeah. And do you play much around your town? Do you play gigs?
A little bit, yeah. You know, there's some things here and there, and I've been doing a few things with like Alex Leach around here and stuff like that, and those tend to be pretty fun.
That's cool. So you've got a big record coming out right around IBMA in the fall? And then are you going to, I mean, you're only 14, but are you going to like start touring for that record? Is there a plan for that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just get the record out, see what happens.
Kick it
from there. Okay. What kind of, I see all these Gibson mandolins behind you. What kind of, are you playing a Martin or what do you play when you play bluegrass guitar?
Well, I have a few Gibsons and I play them a lot, but you know, I also play a Martin here and there. So
yeah. Mix it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Gibson factory where they made that?
Yeah. Well, where they made the mandolin. Yes. Yeah. It's in, Gibson Custom Shop in Nashville. David Harvey, a good friend. He's on the album too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That must be fun to see how these things get made. I know there's like a million steps. It's a lot going on. Yeah. Cool. Well, Wyatt, I'm in awe of your talent. I think most people who have heard you or follow you are like, it's incredible. So we're talking on a Tuesday. It's like midday your time. How many hours of mandolin playing are you going to do today?
No clue. Heck, I might play 6 hours or I might fish for 6 hours. I don't know.
Okay. You talk about fishing a lot. Is there like a fishing place right near you that you go to?
Oh, yeah.
Is this bass fishing? What kind of fishing are we doing here?
Bass, crappie, everything.
Okay.
Fly fishing.
Okay. You're really into the fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Nice. You got to combine the two, the mandolin and the fishing. I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. It's the string, thank God.
Have you gone fishing with Billy Strings?
No.
Okay. That's got to be on your to-do list, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wyatt, there's one more mandolin we haven't talked about. Tell me about it.
Well, I don't have it up here right now, but it was Marty Stewart's old mandolin. It was it's a March 31st of 1924 Louis Lord Gibson, and you know, I had a bass boat, and the keyword there is had. I sold the bass boat and got the mandolin, and it was just a really special circumstances, and it was the mandolin has a tag right here. This isn't it, but it has a tag right here that says Miles Music Store, Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a metal diamond shaped plaque. Yeah, and we're from Knoxville, so
yeah. You know, does that store's long gone, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, you have a bass, you sold a bass boat to buy a lure, which is incredible. I think Marty may have cut you a deal on that, because I don't know, unless it's a really fancy bass boat.
Well, yeah, it didn't come straight from Marty. Marty sold it in probably the 1990s, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Or early 2000s, or I don't know for sure, but he played it on his Pilgrim album, on the song on the Bobby Hicks record. Yeah, it was a really, really special deal, but we got it from Carter Vintage, actually.
That is so cool. And where is that now? Is it getting worked on?
No, it's in a case downstairs.
Okay. It's in a bank vault.
Well,
so you've got the Gibson from literally 100 years ago almost, and then you've got the ones that are 1 or 2 years old. Which ones do you go to the most?
No, it's just it's mixed up, you know. I'm playing out hot festivals, you know, rainy weather. I play this one a whole lot, or anywhere for that matter.
Yeah,
but you know, like the lure is, you know, definitely special, and I play it quite a bit. But like I played it, on my album. I played it on the award show with Peter, and I played this one on the record too. It's just, you know, mixed up.
That is so cool. So you sold this boat. Are you a competitive fishing person as well? No.
No, you know, I was, you know, kind of thinking of going down that path at that point, but you know, it's just like, there's the mandolin.
Yeah.
It ruined that.
The mandolin, probably, I don't know about depreciation on boats, but I'm guessing the mandolin's a better investment.
Yeah, I think so.
So why, what's your summer look like? Any big shows?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Maine for the Thomas Point Bluegrass Festival, and I'm going to be open for the Traveling McCurries in early July, I think, July 6th. That'll be really cool. That's a, you know, just like a really big dream there. And yeah, there's just going to be some stuff, you know, sprinkled through coming up between now and then.
And how are you as a band leader? Like, what are you, do you have it all figured out in terms of what you're going to play when you open for the Traveling McCurries?
Man, I don't even know. I don't know.
Stuff from the new record, some classic bluegrass too, probably.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be having some singles come out throughout the summer, and, you know, the record, kind of towards the end of summer.
Yeah. I mean, you are at the beginning of your bluegrass career, but you could be at the beginning of any career. Do you see bluegrass and music being kind of your path? Like, that's what you want to do when you're older?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Wyatt, thank you so much. This was a blast, and congrats on all the work. Obviously you are practicing at least 6 hours a day, many days, to be as good as you are.
Yeah, not quite, you know. I probably play a couple hours a day, but, you know, I've been playing fiddle too, so, you know, I got to keep that up.
Wow. Do you just kind of jump from instrument to instrument when you need a break?
Yeah.
Okay. Trying to get well-rounded. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, congrats again. And what I've heard from the new record sounds amazing. I can't wait to hear the whole thing in the fall. And congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it'll be really cool.
All right, that was my chat with Wyatt Ellis. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, this is someone we're going to probably be interviewing a whole bunch of times over the next several years. If you enjoy these podcasts, if you enjoyed my interview with Wyatt, if you want to support me and my family and our contributors, go to fretboardjournal.com, click on the subscribe button. You can get a digital or print subscription to our magazine and help us grow. Till next time.